We do have a quorum. We'll first recognize our creator and take a couple of minutes or a minute to just be silent and think about our creator and our people and our lands. Down, go. Let's start with the approving of the agenda.
Roll call.
Okay, roll call, starting with the secretary.
Patty Heft here.
David Jordan here.
Tina here.
Ed Delgado here.
Sorry.
Melinda Danforth.
Okay, we do have a quorum. Okay, could we get approval of the agenda?
A motion to approve the agenda with three additions. First is retro approval of an e-poll to approve spending $2,800 for trees for the United Tree giveaway event. Number two is oaths of office to administer to election board alternates, Candace Jordan House, Lori Elm, and Shelley King. And if we could do that first on the agenda. And then to go into executive session to continue or to consider action regarding Oneida Seven Generations Corporation.
Okay. Business committee, what do you say about the agenda?
Is there a backup for the Seven Gens?
Not yet. Apparently, it'll be distributed to us in executive session.
Who's asking to add this item on?
Joanne House.
Motion to approve the agenda with the additions.
Support.
We have a motion by Melinda Danforth, supported by David Jordan. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Let the record show that Vice Chairman Greg Mattson is in attendance. Okay. We have an agenda. We'll do oath first.
Yep.
If you could call the three people up, you have
a microphone. Okay, I have Candace. That's what I have so far. So the other two, please, Lori Elm, Shelley King, and Candace.
Jordan House.
Jordan
okay. House.
Candace House.
Jordan House.
Hi. Shelley King. Jordan House. Hereby promise. And regulations of the Oneida Tribe of Indians of Wisconsin, the General Tribal Council, and the Tribal Constitution. I will perform my duties to the best of my abilities, and on behalf of the Oneida people, honor, respect, dignity, and sincerity. And will maintain confidential information with the strictest confidentiality. I will carry out the duties and responsibilities as a member of the Oneida Election Board, and all recommendations shall be made in the best interest of the Oneida Tribe as a whole.
Hey, the next thing on the agenda is the Elder Recognition Luncheon Plan Update. Linda, Wesley, and Donald. Don, could you provide us with an update? where we're at and where we are planning to go with a safe, fun meal.
Yesterday, we all attended, Linda, Wes, and I, we attended a meeting in Elder Services, and it was regarding the Honor the Elders Month and that, too. And basically, Linda provided us information about the work that was being done in order to address the event in terms of location, associated cost, attendance figures, things like that, too. And then we had discussions about feasibility, whether or not we can pull together a good event together in the period of time. It's approximately 3 weeks that we're talking. And overall, the discussion led to we probably couldn't do it very well. Elder Services, all of us are involved in budget preparation, development, and those sorts of things, too. So we thought maybe we could delay it until later months, June, and Wes is going to talk about July as well, too. But we want to hold the event. We want to stay within budget, and I think we had agreement that we wanted to move forward with it, too. We had the big question about could we do it within the prescribed time right now, which is May. And I guess at the meeting, consensus was on behalf of Elder Services and ONCOA that it probably is too soon. However, but that's why we're here today, too, just to tell you the results of our discussion. Linda can elaborate more, and Wes can also. So anybody want to go first? Ladies?
When we got done with the meeting Wednesday, I contacted Don, and I let him know what was decided inside the business committee meeting, and I asked authorization to have the team that normally works with the Elderly Services Department for the holiday events come together and do the work for this event. We met yesterday afternoon, and I felt that it was important to come back to the business committee to seek clarification and or approval if there's a change, because my understanding was that the decisions that were made on Wednesday were based upon the cost comparison that I had provided in the color-coded charts with Doc Spies and Radisson for the Iroquois Complex and the Three Clans Conference Room. We did discuss the things that Don said, and there's pretty much agreement that it's too short of a time period because it's actually 5 calendar weeks away. But by time the notice was put inside of the drums and the Gullowee Zucks, it won't come out until May 1st, which closes that window 3 weeks. It's a significantly short period of time to communicate with the elders and to get the event rolling and have everybody moving together so that it will be a nice, well-planned-out event. 3 weeks, we all agreed that it wasn't long enough. But I felt it was important for us to come back here because my understanding was is that the approvals were based upon, again, the color-coded cost comparison. And in that were the seating capacities, the dates of availability, the number of sessions and number of guests, as well as the cost of the meals, the gratuities, and the bands with the total cost for each of those areas. Or entities where they would have the event. So there was discussion yesterday with regard to, my understanding is this was our options. We talked yesterday about other options of being able to, are they able to have a picnic? You know, we talked about safety. We talked about additional cost. We talked about the weather elements, additional cost being for to have a substantially large tent to hold that number of guests. Golf carts or whatever we need to transport to make their ride to the area safe and so that they didn't have to walk long distance and things to make it convenient for them. So basically we're here today to find out from the business committee. We know the dollar amount that's been allocated, and is there they want to know if they can plan an event the way they want it planned, where they want, you know, not within the restrictions of what was on the cost comparison report that was provided to you.
We authorized $10,000 to hold this event. It was my first idea, inclination. A picnic would be great. The tents, the whole nine yards. But the weather is very unstable. It's been unstable since December or November. And also there's an idea that outside is not very good for the elders who are 75 plus, you know, it gets a little bit hard to walk outside in the grass and in on the hills and stuff like that. And also the downstairs where the high school eats, that's very small, and it doesn't accommodate very many people at all. So we want to hold a safe place for this meal. And that's going to be up to Don White and your people to do that when you think you can get it done the best and at the best time and in the best way. So I think that was on our intent on Wednesday.
And I guess one of it was basically a Christmas party committee that was made up of Elder Service, Anacoa, and some other, mm-hmm. and we kind of took from that. But even with the planning for that thing, we usually started in August, September, because tried to plan some just within a certain amount of days before the event, and then the budget constraints came in, and that was then postponed. But there was also discussions at that point with the amount of money that we had. And it's still an option, is do we charge a registration fee as we were going there, and as opposed to that, and then one that would, at least if the person is going to come, knowing that they paid up front, because before we had the Christmas tree party 2 years ago, I think it was like 700 some were registered without any type of thing, without a commitment, and like almost 200 didn't show. And so, but we had to pay for the dinners because that's how many registered. So these are the issues that hopefully is that if we have, as opposed to a picnic, as opposed to inside, and do we go there, mm-hmm. and if we can return that registration, these are questions. But it's something that we believe we can pull off, but not in to do a hurry up and to do what it is. The other thing that was noted was it's a recognition of elders. And when they brought up, one of the things they talked about was, how can we get the youth involved to maybe if the elders are under a sitting down at a picnic or some of service in them. It doesn't have to be from a certain time to a certain. You could start it at 10 o'clock, let it run. They could come at their own convenience, whatever, but they would have at least access to food, a picnic, be served, and be recognized by the young people of the tribe. Then were some of the stuff that was discussed, and it wasn't meant they don't want to do it. It's, what can we do to recognize the elders? We just bring them to the Radisson for 3 or 4 hours, play bingo, and that's good. But what, is there some intermingling between the younger with the adult age, that type of thing? Mm-hmm. And if it comes to a point where that's what's going to have to be is a banquet type style, then do it. But to give us the appropriate time is what they're saying. You very well know, I guess, yourselves are going through budgets. Mm-hmm. Elder Services has 15 programs over there that they have to a budget right now. And if there's a change or something, then they have to address to all 15 budgets. So I can see where they're having. And so it's not that we don't want to have it, and we appreciate it. It's if we're going to do a good job, we think it should be probably sometime in July. Yeah. As to what kind of event, hopefully that we can bring that back to you, is our just tell them, plan an event that does respect to the elders and honors the elders.
And that is what we said on Wednesday. We provided the $10,000. You guys' responsibility is to carry this out, and I'm sure you'll do it. It just has to be safe. And again, elderly, many of them don't get around that well, and the outside it can be dangerous, and we're responsible for their safety.
Yeah,
Greg.
So do you think the estimates that came in, some of them up to 16.9, you think you're going to be able to supplement that in any of your programs, Don, if need be? And then
feedback I'm getting from operations is no, we really don't have disposable cash. Everything's budgeted for, so everything's very tight. Our discussion is that looking at planning together to really adhering to that $10,000. And so like I said, we have to go back and all of us and work together to make this happen in the best way possible. So we're just asking for additional time.
And then occupancy, there again, I don't know if it causes more issue or not, but Turtle School was always there available in the gymnasium for GTC meetings, which is a substantial amount of people that are there. So, and inside, outside, if it was to be a picnic, no, I mean, you can open up those doors. There is no need for ramps or anything. It's just right in and out. So.
And I guess that's how we're is we're willing to do it, the Elder Service on a COA board, is this allow us to plan a function, hopefully, which you're in a, whether it's a picnic or a sit-down, and to do what's necessary to make sure that reach as many elders as we can.
You have it late in July and make that new BC cook for you.
Huh? A what?
You can have the new BC cook for you.
And again, the picnic part. I've had some elders tell me that they don't feel good about a picnic because they don't get around that well.
No disrespect, Mr. Delgado, but at the same time, we have had people saying that they have complaints about the radis in our sit-down, too. So knowing elders, you're going to get... Either way you go, you're going to...
Well, it happens that I agree. I agree that it is unstable for an 80-year-old elder on a walker to have to walk around outside. And it's also, the weather has been unstable. And we just might find a 60-degree or 55-degree date that we can't control. Michelle.
Oh, my only suggestion was maybe look at the Oneida Gathering, because we're trying to bring all these Oneidas together, so that might be a good time, too, during that time. So, because you're doing that this year, right, Don?
Well, there's the grass issue again, but that's why I was talking about Turtle School. It's all completely concrete, and blacktop for parking. It's all, there is nothing more than a half-inch threshold to get in any of those doors. So, it's ours.
Yeah, that could be one of the options we look at.
Climate controlled.
Some of the other things that we discussed as well yesterday is the people sitting around the table, everyone was from Elder Services, so that's their role and their function within the tribe. Some of them sitting at the table were elders as well themselves and expressed their concerns and things that they'd like to see. They asked if there's the ability for them to, at that table, making those decisions to utilize the $10,000 for something other than an event. You know, does it have to be a meal? Does it have to be a picnic and things like that, you know? Because some of that discussion also included, I believe they said we have somewhere around from age 55 and older, we actually have almost 4,000 elders. So there was the discussion, you know, even if we have this event and it has to be limited to 900, then how do we recognize the rest of the Oneida elders? So those were things that were brought to the table. Those were things that I didn't have answers to, and those are things that I don't have any authority to say they can or they can't do. So I suggested that we bring it back to the business committee today and get some clarity and direction for them so that they know what they can and can't do.
And again, Wednesday, it's up to you. Don, you provide the leadership. Get it however you think, whatever you think needs to be done. But I do the responsibility for safety, that nobody catches a cold wind and they're 85 years old or 80 years old, or nobody falls. That's my only concern, because we're responsible for that up here. Any other BC members?
I guess my question is there a proposed date? Do you have a proposed time? frame? What's the minimum amount of time that you need
we
to? Look,
we looked at the we looked at the latter part of the July 21st. I think we're talking the 25th, somewhere in that area, which would give us approximately 90 days to do it. Do a good job. And as you know, that's a Friday.
And again, your inputs would be great too. So, I mean, that's just something we talked about yesterday, that calendar range. So, if there's any other considerations, that would be fine.
Yeah. What are the dates on the gathering?
Which gathering?
The Oneida gathering. You talked about, Shelley talked about.
I don't know those dates.
The dates, I think, might be August 15th through the 17th. I'm not sure.
Is that correct, Michelle, for the gathering?
Yeah, I'll have to verify and confirm, too. Patty could very well be right, though.
And yeah, we can look at them dates.
Well, there's a concern with regard to possible cold weather. But from my experience working in the chairman's office the last couple of years, we've worked the 4th of July holiday with emergency management, Homeland Security, due to the extreme heat. So we don't want to take our elders out into an element that's extreme heat either, which comes July, the beginning of July, through almost August. So if it's going to be an outdoor event, even if it's going to be an indoor event, you know, those are all weather conditions are elements that we have to take into consideration, because we've worked July 4th and 5th and 3rd, 4th and 5th doing cooling centers, because it's been the heat has been so extremely warm that we had to find shelter for community members and elders. So
the logistics, though, we'll consider all those variables too, though, when we do this, and you know, in the interest of health and safety as well.
So when do you think you will have a finalized proposed date?
I think is within 2 weeks. Is that okay? That we can give you a date? We'll meet again quickly and start working on this thing too. And we should be able to derive an appropriate date within 2 weeks. Or if that's too long, let me know. We'll, you know, expedite that too.
Well, I guess I'm just coming from a standpoint that, you know, there are some variables that you're saying that you need, one, a minimum amount of time to coordinate. Of course, you have to get on the calendar of the place that you're holding the event and then work out the logistics. So, I mean, if 2 weeks is reasonable for you, that's fine. And I'm just hoping that in 2 weeks, all the logistics and variables that you're speaking of today are addressed and considered before you bring back a date.
Yeah, and hopefully that we can. But it's like, again, I noticed that Linda did provide some times for the hotel,
right,
as if it's going to be indoors and dates. So I think that the committee needs to look at that, and if they come to a consensus that it's going to be a sit-down, then we've got some hotel dates. And then if it's decided to be a picnic or whatever, what are the safety factors? We're at Turtle School, or what another note was given was the grounds behind the Norbert Hill Center here, because it does have an RV already out there, and you know, a tent set up there, and it will be basically should be pretty much ready, because the powwow had been already gone through, so I assume the grounds would be in shape at that point too yet. So some are, like you said, there are variables, mm-hmm, that can be discussed and come back with, you know, as to what type of event and what possibility dates.
If we just say within 30 days, that gives you 2 weeks to, you can come back tomorrow. Or you
they probably would that, be. Okay.
Before you answer that, I think it's important to take into consideration, because we have to keep in mind that we're under cost containments right now. So notice to the elders is in a timely fashion as possible is critical in order to save money, because one, drums is going to go out. We've asked them to hold that because I thought we were going to make a decision Wednesday or yesterday. If the decision isn't made within the next couple of days, then the drums don't go out until a later time again. And the Gullwee Sox, those are the two primary communication methods that they're using for notice to the membership. So as if you put it out 30 days, then if you don't fall within that time frame for the Cully We Zucks deadline, then you're rolled out another week, and then plus you got to wait for them to put it in the paper. And then, you know, and if you're going to do, if you run into that situation, then you're going to incur a substantial cost in order to do a hand mail out to the membership. So those are different things that have to be taken into consideration as well.
But the motion we're talking about is simply the procedural exception to supplies $10,000
right.
to the Eller event. So if you guys came back in within 30 days with an update, the motion's already there to be made. The dollars have been dedicated. So
as well, what we also discussed yesterday while we were together is that Lane Roscoe brought forward, you know, we discussed the ideal with regard to charging them. You know, and that was something we didn't know if we should or we shouldn't, because it's in recognition of them. And the other thing was... it sounds like there's not going to be able to be internal contributions from inside the tribal structure. That doesn't mean that we can't go outside of the tribe, you know, and look for those resources to bring that, because the gap is from 10,000 up to the 16,924, which again only would afford an opportunity for 900 guests and 800 to 900 guests. So those are all different things that have to be taken into consideration. And if it's going to be planned, you know, whatever time frame they spend, all those things have to be taken into consideration, because the longer you plan it out, the more money you got to invest in it.
Right. And we talked all about that the other day, and that's why if we could cap it out and you guys come back under budget, then so be it. But if you have to come back with a procedural exception to make up that difference, that's what I was trying to clear up the other day with the just noticing the 16,000 is it, so it doesn't have to 10,000 committed from BC Special Events Fund, and the 16,000 total wouldn't have to have another procedural exception if you can find it somewhere in the governmental services or elderly division. So
that's kind of why we're here today, is to try to get clarity from the business committee is do you want it to be a sit-down event? Because my understanding is the decisions were based upon this cost comparison. So if that's what you're saying, then we have our numbers and we know which way we're going, and it's a little easier to plan. And then we can reach out to the other areas of the tribe, because I haven't done that yet because things changed yesterday. If you give us some clear direction of what you want, you know, then it's a little bit easier to set the time frame, because we will have to go over there and... the 29th was the date that was available, but I also, for the next update for use with regard to the annual exhibition of the programs and services, there were dates that the Radisson provided where both the Iroquois Complex and the Three Clans Conference Room were available, and that rolls out to August.
If it's up to me, I want to stay within the $10,000.
Well, it is up to you. You've been granted $10,000 to make this happen. We said go forward and then do your thing. And we're only, as chairman, I'm saying make it a safe thing that's going to happen, recognizing that many of our elders are older and frail, and the choice of place has to accommodate them. So I think
I
we're still
what,
with the motion that we had
if
Wednesday.
What Linda's in the chairs and the business saying, want to give us direction that it will be a sit-down, that gives that authority, and that's what we're going to be limited to with the 10,000. If that's what it's true, that gives us where to go.
When I'm 85 years old, I'll probably prefer a sit-down.
Okay. So if that's the direction the BC wishes to go, that's what we'll take back to that planning board, and that's what we'll work on. If you choose a sit-down rather than mm-hmm. to a picnic, that's fine with us. It's just, you know, it's the 10,000, then that's where we'll go.
Okay, then the time will, what you need
July,
to do is what you need to do. We said on Wednesday, go forward and do it. So
and
I think we're
we
still on that page.
We work out the preliminaries if there's going to be a charge, not a charge, but where it's going to be, what date, mm-hmm. and how many.
That's your fight.
Yeah.
Motion to accept as FYI and let the team work, and you guys should make the decisions. I don't. understand why we continuously come back unless you're uncomfortable making those kind of decisions, but we gave you $10,000, work with it. And like, I agree with Greg, and if there needs to be additional considerations along the way, then bring those back. But if you're not comfortable making those decisions, then tell us, and then we can just appoint, you know, those individuals that are comfortable making decisions. But we gave you $10,000 now. Go. Whether it's sit down or outside or whatever, that's your guys' decision right now. So thank you.
Safety factors.
I just like clarification, too, because I don't want to walk out of here and then I don't have answers, because I do have questions, you know, with Don is saying we're going to stay at the 10,000, but there's people that have already come to me and talked to me that said, you know, let us know what you need and we'll try to see if we can accommodate you. So I don't want to be restricted.
I said 10,000 within tribal contribution. If there's other things that are coming in addition to that, that's fine, but we're still within the tribal contribution.
Is there a second on the motion?
Yeah, is there a second on? Okay, we have a motion by Melinda Danforth, seconded by Greg Madsen. Discussion?
I guess I would appreciate a status report back to the committee, and I don't know if 2 weeks is enough time or not. And the reason I say that is because it sounds like you are in a dilemma in some of your decision-making. And the other reason is for publication purposes, your two communication pieces are the drums and the Gully Wee Sox. This way, if you come here, there's a record of it here. There's a lot of people look at the minutes here. Mm-hmm. So then you can, you know, tell us, you know, the decision was the date and the place. I think that's the most important, mm-hmm. is to find a place and a date, because the dates that were proposed were May 26th to May 29th, and the 26th is a holiday, which is fine. Mm-hmm. But I thought those were the dates that we were targeting, and obviously they changed. Mm-hmm. So I think for that reason, for planning purposes on everyone's part, the sooner you establish a date and a places, the better for everybody.
And I think that helps if it was a latter part of July, because we couldn't publish in the drums and the gully in June and July. And, you know, so there is, and there is an article going to go in, sort of saying there is in the works a public or an elder type of function is coming in the future. Watch out, watch the gully for future information. So there is some, at least a start of a message out there that there is going to be some type of elder function coming forward.
And I think that if we could make a decision in the next couple of days, that we could still start to communicate with the elders and the community in the next issue of the Gully Wee Sox, because that will come out next Thursday. And there should be, I can contact her and let her know we'll have something coming in the next couple of days if we can.
We do have a motion
again
on the floor. We have a second.
I'll amend it. I mean, if you guys want to report in 2 weeks, accept it as information, request an update and at the next business committee meeting or two business committee meetings from now, whenever.
Concur.
And I'm going to call for the question. Yeah.
Okay. And more the next business committee meeting or the second one in May?
Second.
Well, the next one.
The next one, May 14th.
Could you read...
accept the report and then update, come back May 14.
Okay, Patty, before the call for the question, you had your hand up?
Nope.
Kathy, you did.
I was just wondering, I was here when you had that lengthy discussion. My understanding was it was to go to the chairman's office. It came from the chairman's office? It originated out of the chairman's office, is that correct?
Yes.
And then somewhere along the line, I heard it's in the chair, it's back at your office. And then now there seems to be more and more people. And that, you know, that can be complicated, you know, because then now it seems to me like there may be individuals throwing wrenches in here and there.
No.
Can it run smoothly? Is there a possibility that it could run smoothly?
It came to the chairman's office to get the materials together, which Linda did. We made we provided some background information. The business committee then allocated $10,000 from its special events to make this happen. And then on Wednesday, we said to Don and his division, make it happen.
Oh, so they're all working together?
They're
smoothly.
Oh, yep, that's about it. So All those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I know you guys will do a good job.
Well, Linda, you have your second item, the exhibition.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Does everyone have the handout that I gave to them with on Wednesday? I have another one if you don't. Does anybody have one?
Yeah. I think I have it. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Linda Dallas. I'm the Senior Policy Advisor to Chairman Delgado, one of them. I handed this out to you Wednesday, and it's a brief update with regard to the annual exhibition of tribal programs and services. I wanted to come to you for clarification to see if you would like to hold one yet this fiscal period. And then I contacted the Radisson to see what they had dates available for both the Iroquois Complex and the Three Clans Conference Room. Because of the number of programs and departments and services that the tribe offers, we would need to utilize both those areas so that there's enough room for them to set up and so that there's enough room that people can pass through there safely without banging into each other, and wheelchairs and walkers and stuff can come through as well. The preliminary information that I received with regard to the rental cost for both those big areas at the Radisson would be $1,000. And then I think there was a misunderstanding with regard to the flyers and banners types of things, but the information I received back was that the banners would be the estimated cost of $4,880, and the collateral materials would be $3,150, and then trinkets and treasures would be about $1,000. So I didn't know if you wanted to do it yet this fiscal period or if you just want us to plan for the next fiscal period, because the information was brought forward as part of the gang awareness, prevention, and intervention efforts to bring the community together to unite and to let them know what services and programs we have available.
I just have a question, because I know that last year, I believe Elder Services and can't remember the team, but the team had one similar like this, but maybe it wasn't as large as you're planning it. So I wasn't sure if they were planning on doing the same thing this year. I was going to ask Wes, but he left.
And we talked about that yesterday too, mm-hmm. because they have an elders exhibit or expo kind of like.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're wondering, is that if we're going to do it, if the business committee is planning on having it this fiscal period, then we would bring those efforts together so that it's not a duplication.
Yeah, because even though it was held for elders specifically, there was a lot of not elders there because they wanted to learn about the service. Right.
So they want to learn about the services and programs for mm-hmm. the elders, and it's a great opportunity to expand, because that's what some of my questions that I'll have when you tell me what, you know, direction you want to go, is when were they going to have that? And then we can elaborate on that, because Patty had really good ideas, too, that she sent with regards to having tours of the reservation and then combining it with, like, a Just Move It effort, I think, is really good, too. And then to tie it in with the elders' already planned event. So instead of spending those dollars twice, we would bring it all together. And then I also brought forward to the divisional directors Brandon's idea of, and other people on the business committee discussed, of a celebration of us being Oneida. You know, that's basically the theme of it. Because that's the importance of it, is our culture and our language and our traditions is the foundation that we're going to expand on. And to remind them that we have the services and the programs available to help them in those different areas.
How is this
where they struggle.
How is this going to be different from setting up at General Tribal Council meetings?
Because it would utilize both facilities, because it would have all of the programs, all of the services. It's like a celebration. It's an opportunity for people to come through all day long. It doesn't restrict them to a certain a small time period. It's a full day celebration and a full day opportunity for people to come out and learn about what we have and how they can get assistance.
In your write-up, it says collateral materials at 3100. What is that? Can you define that?
That I would have to ask for assistance from Joni Buckley. I don't know if she's here today. I don't think she is. But those were, I think what she said, she was talking about like the, if they had to make up flyers or materials to distribute, you know, things like that. Are you here? There she is.
Yeah, the number that we gave her was for, let's assume that in the division we had 14 departments. We gave the estimated cost of the banner. So each one is estimated at $320. And the collateral materials are the rack cards, any fold-outs, any handouts that need to be printed. Those have a cost associated with them also. So we gave an estimate just to decide, is it a lot or is it just a little bit? But those will all have to be multiplied by the number of individual departments that we're going to look at.
So it's a lot of different areas reported back as well, and they said that they have some of those materials in there, but for an event of that size, that they would have to produce the materials for that. And that's why I want to get clarification from you is, do you want us to plan that for this fiscal period? Can we sustain those costs, or, you know, is it feasible? Or do you want us to plan for the next fiscal period?
Nick?
Well, I would need a lot more information. I don't know if you're trying to provide information to 10,000 people, 20,000 people, tribal only. If it's similar to what we used to do, where all of the departments would display what they do. I mean, we got 272 funded units. Mm-hmm. Am I right, Larry? 270 units?
Right.
Are they all going to display their department?
That's the ideal.
So I don't think we can really go off of what we've got here. It would have to be it just seems to me it would be much more expensive than what I'm seeing here once we start totaling everything up. But
so when I started to do the work, I looked at it, and I don't know if it's feasible for this fiscal period. So that's what I need clarification or direction from the business committee is there funding somewhere available so that we could do it this fiscal period, or should we plan for the next fiscal period?
I would like to make a motion to plan it for the next fiscal period. That's my motion. Okay, that way it can be budgeted for.
Right.
Okay, we have a motion by David Jordan.
Support.
Supported by Greg Mattson. Discussion? We will continue to plan on it, though, and refine it, and you'll probably be working with the various divisions so we can propose something for the next budget.
I wanted to come and get clarification from the business committee because I didn't want to pull a team of people together and then not really have any firm direction. So it's one thing to scramble and prepare it yet for this fiscal period. It's another thing to get it ready for the next one so that they can put it in their budgets.
Well, when we first talked about this at the BC level, it sounded as if the BC liked the idea of celebrating who we are, that we should do that more often.
Correct.
But we don't have the money this budget cycle, so we'll continue the plan to see if we can submit something for the budget of 2015.
Okay.
Is that okay? Okay.
I have a question around planning that because the fiscal year budget is being conducted now, and we're almost late with this. But at the same time, I guess if this is going to be a directive of the business committee, then somebody needs to bring back a very concise budget regarding this activity, and it needs to be sooner than later. So even though we may direct for this to happen in fiscal year 15,
okay,
planning is like now.
Okay.
And there needs to be something back on this agenda so everybody's clear what we're budgeting for, especially if it's from a committee standpoint.
Okay.
We do have a motion on the floor to defer this for the 2015 budget. What was your motion?
To plan for the next fiscal period.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda, proposed resolution establishing the Youth Development Fund.
Joni Buckley, Internal Services, Cheryl Stevens, Grant, Susan White, Trust. And we have a PowerPoint that we'll be showing you that sets the stage. So the intent here is to talk about the Youth Leadership Development Fund. This is part of a grant. We were awarded a grant to develop a 7871. And so we'd like to at least present this, answer any questions, and then look for support through the resolution. So when we start here, one of the things that we need to really consider is the ability for tribes to have nonprofit under a tribal umbrella, which is different than a 501c3. So as we began to explore this, we came up with a concept to go after a grant, and it was a youth leadership. And so based on that, or we went after a grant to look at the 7871. So this began because we have been speaking about development funds in Oneida for quite some time. And so then I approached First Nations, who had some experience in the 7871 as a vehicle for fundraising. And they came here to Oneida and presented to the CDPC. Subsequently, they awarded us a grant under a mentor protege with the Hopi tribe, with the HEAF, Hopi Education Foundation. That was awarded in April of 2013. And so then HEAF came here, and they also presented here at a BC meeting. Now, just to give some clarification on the difference between the 501c3 and the 7871, it's for charitable donations or contributions. The tribe, as a government, under the IRS ruling 7871, has the ability to receive charitable contributions. So you'll see on the left-hand side the difference on it. The 501c3 is filed with the state. 7871 really endorses sovereignty, which is what we're about. It's easier to set up because the reporting is through the tribe versus the 501c3 with the 990. The challenge with the 7871 is it's not as recognized by the external donors. And by that, I mean the large donors like a Bank of America, or a large entity. There's a lot of other people playing in this space, and so as we were looking at this grant and identifying other people working in this arena, you'll see at least a little bit of collateral materials from across Indian country in the United States. So many have set up different entities for charitable contributions, whether they're 501c3 or 7871s. As we developed the concept for the grant then, we started with the idea of how do we get there? Where do we want to go? So we pulled a team together to begin to explore this. And we had HEAF as a mentor along the way. We met with them physically here. We went to go meet with them down in Arizona. And we had conference calls once a month with First Nations and with HEAF. Unlike Hopi, Hopi went to the Tribal Council to set up a nonprofit, a 7871 for higher education. They went to the council and asked them for $1 million. The council gave them $10 million. Easy to set it up when you have $10 million. We're starting with no seed money, so the idea is to set up the framework for it and to look at how we set this vehicle up for fundraising. So if you think about this vehicle, it's kind of like a Oneida Way or, you know, United Way or Oneida Way, where different youth can go after different funds. Some of the funds that she can solicit could be restricted funds for a specific activity or unrestricted for the general coffers. So the team began to explore the best way to set the stage, and that was really to set up an institute that really empowered our Oneida youth to lead a nation of strong families through these different five pillars or five principles: the culture, the athletics, the healthy mind, healthy bodies. So we continue to explore how do we tie it into the vision, what activities would it be anchored with, and what are the different facets for development. The intent with this one then, as we continued with the framework, was to set a stage for the ask under those five principles or five pillars. Eventually, we would like to see it develop into a brick and mortar, kind of like a house where you have the house and anybody can come in and cook or do any activity. In the same way, you're setting up a leadership institute with the five principles of healthy mind and healthy bodies, of the culture anchored on those, and then different youth groups could weave in and out for their needs. So we continue to evolve on the concept, and we've honed in a little bit more on the principles and, or pillars, and that is really to anchor everything on our traditional culture, to look at healthy minds and healthy bodies, to reach out for civic engagement as we build a community, to instill in our youth and entrepreneurial skills, and to ensure that if they need it, we continue with the academic excellence. Those became the foundations for this. And as you can see from our messaging, we continue to evolve it into a RAT card where the message is really you lead. It can ask for donations, volunteerism, but this is also to build a community where we're all engaged in different things. On the left-hand side, you look at the five principles there, and we look at our five arrows and that concept. So we've got it very well anchored on our culture. Going back to the grant, the other thing that we needed to complete, because the grant was first scheduled to end in the end of August, but First Nations asked us to compress it so that they could go after the funding again. So they asked us to compress it by May 31st. These were the things that we needed to do within our scope of work, to attend a philanthropic institute. So we changed that and joined the local philanthropic one so that more people could attend the chapter meetings than us just going to one show. We wanted to roll it out in the community also and get feedback. We wanted to hold a fundraiser, and we proposed a Packer luncheon at Thornberry the middle of May, and we need to continue setting up the bylaws and the framework. So to report out to the funder, one of the things that we need to do is May 1st and 2nd, we have a meeting with the funders in Denver, and that's Bremer. They're the funders through First Nations. In that funding meeting, Hopi will be there also, and we'll discuss the mentor-protege relationship and how it evolved, the pros and the cons on it. We'll talk about our approach and what we did in Oneida here, and definitely the lessons learned. That's very important for Bremer to hear that. And then the value to the community of setting up this youth leadership. Questions?
Not me.
My question is, I send all my kids to tribal school. My youngest one, her name is Gahandit, and I'm proud that she knows a lot of her songs. But we have also 75% of our youth attend the neighboring school districts. Are they just as able to participate in this program?
Correct. This is for the Oneida community. Mm-hmm. This is for our Oneida youth. It's not about anchored in one school. Okay. It's about the Oneida youth. If somebody wants to do a fundraiser, the youth for lacrosse or something like that, they could use it. If they need this vehicle, it's a vehicle to do it. If they do a fundraiser and the funds are just for lacrosse activity, those are known as restricted funds. So as it moves through it, it is. We want to eventually look at how at least a portion, say 25%, can grow over time to eventually have that brick and mortar.
That was my only question. Business committee?
I have a couple questions. I looked at the information that was provided to me, and in the resolution, it says to establish the Oneida Youth Leadership Fund as a segregated fund of the Oneida Tribe. The next resolve says that the Oneida Tribe Youth Leadership Funds, so we need to be consistent with the verbiage, are no longer a part of the Oneida Tribe's general funds and will be kept separately. And if the intent is to use the tribal status to get this 7871 recognition, you got to either be a part of the tribe or not be a part of the tribe if you want to get the right mechanisms and the right financial structures and the legal structures in place to build out the endowment fund. The next resolve says that Internal Services will identify a team of members to finalize the creation of the Youth Development Fund. So that tells me it's not final, and obviously it's not, because this is preliminary, which shall identify how the board is made up and how the fund disbursement processes. This really needs to go to General Tribal Council, and also has to have the development of this fund, because the resolution is of the business committee. The business committee has to have a part, and if not the business committee, then the General Tribal Council has to have a part in the makeup of the development fund board. And again, I guess my questions are about the legal and financial structure of the endowment. Those things are not in place. Those things need to be created and developed. And there needs to be some assistance, and there most likely will be a cost to that. And so either you're going to do it as a tribal organization, utilizing the opportunity to be treated as a state with your endowment through the tribe's status, or you're going to be an entity separate. And if you try to do it separately, there are some costs incurred with that. And I don't know that you have the seed money to do that. I strongly encourage you to continue your deliverables for the grant that we received so far, and end of May is a short time frame. I think those things need to be in place. I'm a little bit concerned because the communication pieces, one part says to contact grants, another part says to contact tourism, and then there was a third contact. I think it might have been your office, Joni, but I forgot where I read it in the material. So there has to be some consistency in the message about who and where and what to contact, and that person or entity has all of the pertinent information to provide to the donor, to the volunteer, to the person who wants to get involved in an organization, all the way to the recipient and programs. So those are my concerns, just preliminary. And I would strongly recommend that this item be tabled for a further meeting of the business committee. And again, I strongly encourage that this also get the blessings of General Tribal Council.
Okay, can I respond to that? Okay, so let me respond to the first comment then. The first comment is about the funds. It's still under the tribe. The intent is still to be under the tribe. It's got to be reported throughout the tribe, but we're asking for the funds to be segregated from the general tribal funds. That's what we're asking for. Because when people contribute to a cause as a non-for-profit, they want to be able to see unequivocally, very easily, that trail. And the transparency of funds when people are donating is the most crucial thing that you can have. And so that's one of the things that's important. I agree with you that, yeah, we need to have the parallelism in the verbiage on there. So that was one thing. The other thing to look at, too, is because we're not starting with any funds in it, yes, we're starting from an organic, or we're starting with a working group on it. The intent was not to wait until you got to X amount before anything happened, but to have every year different activities where a portion of that could go into it, to that activity that did the fundraiser, and another portion could go back into developing your institute. So as far as the contact person, our first contact is the grants department. Cheryl has offered to take that on. Part of this grant with First Nations allows us to get some software. And so we were going to look at the tracking mechanism, Donor Perfect, which is one that we're exploring right now. We'd get one license to put it on, but it allows you to send out the blast, to track the information, and do everything. We also need to set up a website for the youth leadership. That's the reason we're asking for all the endorsement, because if it doesn't make sense for us, then we can just go back to the funding agent, write a white paper that they asked me to write stating what our obstacles were, and return it. So that's kind of where we stand. We're not always perfect in initiatives, but we're trying the best.
Greg?
Joanne must have heard me. I was going to ask her if there's anything we can do with this resolution right now so the activities can continue by the board that's named in order to establish it.
If you look to the, not the resolution in your materials, the handout that was presented, that handout resolution, I'm going to step back. The series of resolutions that you have seen from Wednesday to the one that was in the packet to this subsequent resolution essentially reflect a series of misunderstandings in the development of the resolution. The initial one on Wednesday showed its comparison of what we were trying to do with our mentor, the Hopis. They set it up differently than we were going to set it up. The resolution that's in your packet reflects the development of an endowment fund, and we are not prepared to do that at this time. It may turn into an endowment fund in the future once it reaches a certain level. Once I understood clearly what was going on, I made some minor corrections to the resolution. Basically, we're starting by creating a fund that can accept donations but cannot make disbursements until the processes by which those disbursements are made and the fund, endowment fund creation documents can be approved. It's a timing issue at this point where we need to get the fund developed, identified by the business committee, that we're setting aside funds received for this purpose to be used for this purpose. They can't be disbursed until such time as all of the other disbursing documents are created. So if you look at the handout resolution, Tina, the consistency is still in there. I do apologize for that on line 56. But lines 61 through 64 have been deleted and basically a new line inserted. The reason that language is deleted in this resolution is because we're not creating an endowment. Under the endowment law, that an endowment is created such that it builds upon itself until such time it can be self-sustainable. We're not there. We're not prepared to be there yet. So we're going to take that out of the systems and create a fund where we can begin the process of receiving charitable donations and then ultimately roll them back out as quickly as we can to the necessary programming. So that's what this resolution does. It simply says that the tribe in its 7871 capacity can receive charitable donations for a specific purpose. Those charitable donations shall be placed into a separate fund, a separate account, and monitored and managed through that. The account itself, when it rises to the point where the trust committee would begin the development process of investing it, would then be managed and at that point through the trust committee, given their investment processes. But there wouldn't be a disbursement until you'd receive the leadership board as well as the processes, procedures, and policies by which disbursements are going to be made. So this is the first step to allow us to move forward to begin accepting donations and begin concluding the grant requirements in accordance with the grant itself.
Do you currently have a 501c3 structure set up?
No.
How do you receive donations then without a tax liability?
We're in the process of developing. That was the purpose of the grant, was to look at all the options available out there. 501c3 was not an option because that has to be separate from the tribe. That cannot be connected to the tribe at all. And thereby someone would have to develop a board, go off the tribe, and develop this 501c3. Basically could do it on their own. This is under the auspices of the tribe. And it's just, it was more or less, okay, let's see what we can do. If we can do this, there are obstacles, yes. We are developing the process. We are developing, looking at the laws. This isn't an up and running fund yet. This is the option to develop this fund and move forward from there. We're not at the stage of accepting funds at this time. And then that's not going to happen until everything is set.
I would just like a motion so that you can begin continue to create so that you can actually start accepting funds.
To answer Tina's question, this resolution identifies that that the tribe basically, in its accounting processes, will identify and track how these funds are made, received, and deposited in a separate account, which can be tracked independently of the tribe's general fund. The tribe itself, under IRS code, is a charitable organization that can receive these funds. And at which point in the future, when the fund is large enough that it requires it to be placed in an endowment status, then we will follow the endowment law and make that transition. But right now, the resolution simply requests the business committee to identify that separate fund, separate banking account, and a separate fund within the tribe's accounting processes will be identified to track these charitable contributions to the tribe.
Linda.
I'd like it noted that I'm not here as an employee right now.
According to the time frame.
Mr. Vice Chairman Mattson, you are not my supervisor. And actually, I wasn't scheduled to work today. I came in because there's a special meeting.
Okay. So noted.
My time was done when I finished my work here. I'm here as a general tribal council member. And actually, this is kind of scary, and the red flags go up. For myself personally, as a general tribal council member, when I think about the individuals that are the players in the game, and then sitting here listening today, and then we have Chief Counsel Joanne House saying, that concerns me. And from what I'm hearing, it doesn't sound like this has been authorized by the business committee to be worked upon already. But more importantly, it should go to General Tribal Council. And General Tribal Council should have knowledge of it, and they should authorize it. Because you're talking, this makes me nervous, actually. And as a General Tribal Council member, and in the interest of my children and my grandchildren and my family and other tribal members, I think this is something that needs to come to the General Tribal Council so that they know what's going on. I'm sitting here and I looked around, and it's interesting who's sitting in the room with us individuals. And I think that if we're going to do things, that it should be...
Is that acceptable, Chairman?
No names.
I didn't use no names.
Yeah, I know, you didn't know, and you didn't.
I think that this is something that the people need to know about, they need to be informed about, and they should make a decision about. Given what we're going through with seven generations, given everything that's happened in the past that the people have tried to bring forth, and something was done, and we're going through a process right now, I think something like this would probably be alarming to them, and they'd have a lot of questions if you're going to do something outside of the tribe. I think we need to rein our things in and keep them inside the tribe so that we can keep track of them. And when you ask for a reporter, you ask for information that the entity that's involved in it is obligated to provide that information to the business committee or to the General Tribal Council. Because what we've gone through with seven generations is absolutely horrendous and, for lack of a better term, wild. So I think that if you're going to move forward with this, I think there's going to be problems, and I think that it should go to General Tribal Council so that they can have input.
I want to say something before we go on to Kathy and then Michelle. I've read this. It makes sense to me. I don't know how it couldn't. And at the very end it says, be it finally resolved that the Oneida Youth Leadership Fund investment shall be managed by the Oneida Trust and Enrollment Committee, which is part of the tribe.
Which is you.
I'm only one person. I don't have control of what they
right
do.
Now, both of you. And I don't know. If we're going to demand perfectness, we're never ever going to get anything done. Sure, we could revise this 10 times each time, you know. But this is good. I understood it. And I don't see any danger here.
Doesn't mean it shouldn't go to the General Tribal Council.
What we have is oversight by the Trust Committee. That Trust Committee is regularly audited, so I don't see where the problem is. I really don't. Kathy and then Michelle.
I do have a procedural question, though. Treasurer Tina Danforth did call to table it, and I'm wondering why discussion is
lost.
She did. She did. That's why I'm kind of questioning
why.
She said
she highly recommend.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering why the discussion is allowed to continue,
because
there's obviously conversation that needs to be had by.
There was no motion. You should know that as a policy advisor.
Michelle?
You know what I
mean. I mean, not Michelle. Kathy. And then Michelle.
Well, thank you. My name is Kathy L. Matoxin. I've been attending General Tribal Council meetings for about 30 years. And I will petition to bring this before GTC. I was not aware that there was a legal opinion. When I was here on Wednesday, I didn't see or hear of any legal opinion. I didn't see or hear of any interaction with our attorney, our chief counsel, whatever it may be. I have some concerns. My concerns are, I've gone to the meeting. I've sat in a meeting and I've observed. And I was uncomfortable with it. It's convenient for certain individuals, you know, to be able to bring something such as this forward, because then they'll have those chosen few, or, you know, depending on who you are and who you know, which is something that I've been saying for a long time. And it goes on.
Michelle. Yeah, I have to Michelle. Go ahead. Right. Go ahead, Kathy.
Oh, I thought you said Michelle's name after me. After
yeah,
my name.
We are.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe I heard you wrong. I see a number of things. I highlighted review powers, secure future, essential government services, secure future, permanent youth leadership fund, perpetual segregated fund. And there needs to be more discussion with General Tribal Council, because I threw out a whole bunch of, like, I made 100 copies of that stuff that I received the other day, and it's out there. And there are people who are saying, this is serious. Kathy, this is serious. It's like, well, deal with it whatever way you choose. But I have some questions. I believe I asked, I didn't know if this is coming from the trust committee. But you weren't doing the presentation.
You just did the presentation.
On Wednesday when I was here, there was discussion on Wednesday, and it was Susan White who was doing the discussion, and that's where I got red flags.
It came from a grant.
Mm-hmm.
A
She's on the team. Well, you also want to raise money, because that's what you said in that one meeting when we were in here. You're looking for getting money from the people.
Okay, Kathy, you're going to be you're making a statement. Let's continue, and we've got other people, so go ahead.
I have questions. It seems like there's some scrambling going on here with this. You know, what's the hurry? You know, let's take it to GTC. You know, just because the elections are right around the corner, don't use it as a political tool. That's what I think it seems to be, you know, leaning towards. And as far as dependent on who you are and who you know and those chosen few, I would like to end my statement with how everything, there's so many things that are controlled and run according to that. And I just wanted to say, my granddaughter came with me up here today because we had a misunderstanding about it. And she's here. She wanted to see what was going on with this. And they got stopped at the door, and the two came in. She wasn't going to be allowed in because she's light-complected and light hair. The girl at the front desk said she can't go up there. And I was embarrassed. I feel really bad. They came up here. They're 15 years old. They're not racist. They're not, you know, hateful or anything. But they came up here for this meeting.
Jesus.
On behalf of your granddaughter, I'm embarrassed too. We're all
colors. Well, somebody should be.
We're all colors. We're Oneidas.
But that's how you choose people for these kinds of things.
And this is not political, Kathy. It's been a long time. We know that we cannot provide everything for everyone all the time. We are in financial crisis. If we are able to bring in donations to help our youth, that's good. I believe. I think it's believe. Mm-hmm. Michelle.
Well, first off, I think my name is Michelle Danforth, for the record. And first off, when you look around Oneida, we have a lot of kids who need a lot of help. And we don't have all the money out in the world to provide everybody the silver platter that some children are very fortunate to have. I see very often when I go to hockey games, very rich families, private schools, you name the gamut, and it's great, and it's wonderful, and yay for them. But we have a lot of families that struggle and have a lot of things. So we have a lot of youth groups. How many youth groups do we have? 15, 20, lots of different programs, gang prevention, civic center, all these different types of kids. And so at first when I was listening to the pillars and stuff, I didn't quite understand until it was, well, we have all these different groups, and the groups have a hard time getting grants. The groups, all of the different groups, could collaborate to actually get a grant or go to a foundation if they are some sort of collaborative effort, some sort of mechanism for people to actually go out and ask money. I used to work for Options for Independent Living for 8.5 years, and we raised over $2.2 million for an endowment. But you had to have that nonprofit, the 7871 status, and this is the mechanism to try to get there. Does it mean that people will be picked and choose? No, it's a collaborative effort of all of those youth groups to try to come together and figure out collectively, hey, this grant is out there. Oh, it affects five different groups. Can you guys work together so we can go after this grant? So I take offense when it's like, I'm really scared. It's like, I'm really scared if we do nothing. Because it's not me that's going to get hurt. It's going to be all those kids out there that need something for us to try. Just try. You know? And that's the point that I want to make, is at least if you try, it's not going to be perfect. Nothing is ever going to be perfect. But at least if you put in the effort and you try and you actually start something and walk through the door, you can at least say, hey, we were trying. And then just a note, there is no fundraiser on the 15th. We did cancel it just so we would make sure we would adhere to the tribal policies and procedures that need to be set up. So can mark your calendars or X your calendars for that date, but I think we need to try.
Okay. Tina, then Greg, and then David, and then Patty.
I'm going to appreciate the comments and the work that's been done here, and I think there is general support from the committee to provide that this is something we work towards. I have a fiscal responsibility as a treasurer of the tribe to ask the necessary questions to make sure that from a legal standpoint, from a financial standpoint, from a business standpoint, from a tribal standpoint, that all the things that are necessary to move this forward in the best possible way are in place. And that's all I'm trying to do, okay? I'm trying to do my job in essence. And because of that, I'm going to make a motion to table this item to the second meeting of the Business Committee in May, especially now that I know that the other event has been postponed. And my reasons for that are several. But, you know, one of the things that I'm concerned about even here is while I'm trying to do my job from a financial standpoint, Joanne's doing her best to do her job from a legal standpoint, I have three drafts in front of me on this resolution to be considered by the Business Committee. And they all have different words in it and different changes, some very substantial changes. And the legal opinion that's in my book with this last resolution was rendered on April 14th. So this legal opinion is outdated based on the other two drafts that I have in front of me right now. So from that standpoint, this needs more work. And from a financial standpoint, another significant change was from Wednesday to today, which was 2 days ago, is there was involvement of my office from the treasurer standpoint and the chairman's office, which also includes the people underneath me under finance and the CFO, to help create an instrument for segregation of funds based on the IRS codes and other nonprofit requirements. So in order for me and my office to conduct that, whether or not it's going to flow through trust committee or the fund board, that's not real clear to me either right now. But no matter where it's getting funded through or from or to, I have a job to do and so does my staff. And I just want to be clear that I'm doing it appropriately. That's all I'm asking for is that consideration to do that. Therefore, that is my motion is to defer this to the May second meeting in May of the Business Committee. That's my motion.
Do we have a second? Second going once. Second going twice. Okay. There's no second. Motion fails.
I would like to make another motion to defer to the next BC meeting to get this clarified.
I have a motion by...
because I'm not in... I'm in support of the concept. I like this because we need this in our community. But there does need to be something cleaned up. And one of them is you added that line in, Joanne, and then crossed out the line above it. I still think that line above it still has to stay in it, even though you added this other one. So that's where I'm at on that topic. There's a couple other issues which I'll probably go over and get back to somebody about it because and I don't know what the difference between table and deferring it, but I just want to defer it because I do like the concept, but I think it needs more work. Just to clarify the legal ramifications, so that's where I'm at.
I'll second it.
We have a motion by David Jordan, seconded by Patty Heft. Discussion?
On the discussion, that is definitely not enough time for me to reconsider what may be in front of me because, like I said, there's three drafts in front of me. I don't know what draft is going to come back. I don't know what the other requirements are needed as far as involvement from my office or from my staff, and I have other conflicts of time that's not going to allow me to do that on the 14th. So I respectfully will have to oppose.
And
I will state my reasons why I'm
we're in discussion.
You acknowledged me two people ago, sir. Okay. But I'll defer
to
the council.
Yeah, but that was before that motion. But
no, it was ahead of David's.
Greg, and then Patty.
Defer to the council. She's got an explanation here.
Council.
Thank you. I think there's some misunderstanding in regards to the discussion on this resolution. There isn't a corporation, entity, anything separate from the tribe being created. We're simply asking for an account code to be created and a bank account to have the funds deposited in. Disbursement of the funds won't occur until the board and the policies for disbursements would occur, and all of that would be within the tribe itself. It's not an external entity. We're not talking, you know, millions of dollars. We're barely talking a thousand. It's receiving charitable donations to be delivered back out. In regards to the treasurer's points, you're absolutely right. There's been significant change from Wednesday till today. My recommendation is before the meeting, which is why you have this third version, I got clarification on what the actual intent was. And so I believe that the sponsors of this would ask you to disregard all versions except for the last one with the strikeouts that was handed out today, that this was the action that they would wish you to consider today and no other versions. David, the reason that sentence is struck out, they want to have the goal, as was explained to me, was they wanted to be able to make an immediate impact. The $1 million level would trigger was in there because it was brought forward as an endowment fund, and under the endowment law, Chapter 84, an endowment fund is intended to develop until it reaches X point, and then the principal's not touched, the interest is touched. This isn't that type of a fund that is going to be created. It's simply a fund that will be utilized to accept charitable donations that will immediately roll back out. So it's not intended to be self-funded in the beginning. That they will, prior to the first disbursement, they'll identify a level that will remain in the account that will continue to grow. When it reaches a certain point, they'll bring it back to the business committee for the formal creation of an endowment fund under the endowment law, Chapter 84. That's why that section is deleted. But in the interim, as they receive those charitable donations, they wouldn't be able to disperse anything until the fund policies were approved, which would identify what would remain in the fund for future growth. So your concern about that sentence being deleted is valid. It's not the goal of what they're trying to create right now. They're trying to create an immediate impact on programming activities for youth leadership.
Greg.
Thank you, Joanna. It's the third time I heard it explained because Susan gave us a once-over explanation Wednesday as well, and then you described it twice. The reason this, I think, is so dearly needed is because we're all familiar with the finance areas. They try to support community activities. If you go in front of the finance committee, you can request from the community fund certain amount of dollars, because that's constrained all the time and the requests are overloaded. Those cannot be fulfilled. Say, for instance, the GTC stipend. This can be funneled, the GTC stipend can be funneled into this area. We can collect $250,000 in, or probably $100,000 in one meeting. That's how this can grow. That team can then allow the kids to come in and request the activities that their parents or family members maybe not be able to pull off at that time. That's what it's about. It isn't about who's going to have more money. And as well as the treasurer, I was appalled at the accusations that came from just simply the presentation.
Patty, what accusations?
Patty, did you have a...
I was just
from
trying
our
to
policy
clarity.
Analyst.
So then the motion will allow the team more
about.
Time to develop this and prepare this so that we can take action to adopt it at our next meeting? Is that okay?
Well, I think the important thing is if you like the concept, if you want us to continue, where the pressure point is, and I'm just... developing concepts here. I think the 7871 is a very good tool as a not-for-profit. For instance, Patty, if you give $50 to the La Crosse, you can then deduct it off your taxes.
I think that's
component.
We all understand that piece. It's just the mechanics of how you're going to set up our framework here. So those things have to be worked out. So I'm thinking you'll have enough time to take the feedback you got today and present us with something that we're going to be able to
do. We can do it next week. We'll be meeting with the donor at the end of next week. And I want to make sure that as we're meeting with the donor, that we either have a clear understanding that we want to continue to evolve the concept or that it's not the right concept for Oneida, and then I can just return the funds. That's it. Other than that, if not, what we'll do is let them know, we just have to keep fleshing it out a little bit more. In the meantime, we'll work on the website and we'll work on the software so that we can use the grant funds. Anything that is not used by the end of May has to go back to the granting agency.
Hey,
comment? I think it's good.
Go ahead.
An addition. I don't know if you each are aware of the Atchison Fund. That was a donation that was given to the tribe, and it's set in a separate account. It sits by itself. It's not touched unless someone approaches to spend it. It's the exact same thing. It's over the tribe. Nobody in this room is going to be touching the money. It's all going to be going through accounting, following accounting processes. Simple, very simple.
Yep.
It's not up and running. We're working towards getting it up and running.
We all understand that. It's just like I said, the mechanics of it, creation of the board, and then the powers of the board, who appoints those people to the board, and then the procedures for disbursement. I think we want to see those before we adopt something.
Yeah, I'd like to say something. Councilman De La Rosa, who's not here today, often says that the enemy of progress is often perfection. I do know that about 6 months ago, a young Oneida trying to go take a better path, talked to us, and then later talked to me and some other folks. The data he found was that 55% of our youth living on this reservation live at poverty. There's another thing that we talked about from our data collection people, that maybe that number is 28%. Whatever it is, 28% or 55%, it's high. What kind of chance do those young people have, to develop their full options, to live a successful life if they're living in poverty and we don't make every opportunity and take every opportunity to create those institutions that can help them? So I think that this is what this is about. And I guess the motion is to a couple more weeks and we'll have another round at it. But I would hope we can get this done. Kathy and then Linda and then we'll vote.
Just for clarification's sake, just so I have a better understanding, I got a little confused, when you walked up to the table, you said, when we worked on this. So that confused me because it's kind of like, how can a legal opinion come from somebody who's been working together? I just want to understand that better. If you're working with the team, then a legal opinion should be independent of that team. That's just my opinion. So there was confusion there with that for me. I don't know about anybody else. But I also had a question for Joni, but I'd probably get called out of order, because it goes back to all these people that are, they got their consulting businesses out there. And then they come to their work for the tribe. It's a legitimate question.
Linda.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Linda, we're not talking about consultant businesses. We're talking about a very important initiative to help our children. Linda.
I just want to address the comments Mr. Mattson is making. As a general tribal council member.
We're not here to go back and forth.
Right, but I am here as a general tribal council member. And I am entitled to think and feel and believe and express what I think, feel, and believe openly
you
as I wish.
And you are.
And so I don't expect to be attacked by the vice chairman, in my opinion. Okay. At any rate, my question is, again, I'm going to go back to, when is it going to come to General Tribal Council? Is it going to take a petition to bring it to General Tribal Council? Or are you going to prepare it and then the business committee review it and then you're bringing it to General Tribal Council? Because you're talking about, because I am a trust and enrollment committee member, you're talking about those different responsibilities and duties and roles that I have as well. And as a General Tribal Council member, I expect these things to come to General Tribal Council so that we can review it and we can make a decision on it as a body.
I'd like to apologize to you, Linda, for if you think that was an attack. But with the point I was simply trying to make is I spoke to your supervisor just before lunch, and he told me that your hours of service were from 11:30 until 4:30.
You made an exception that we're not talking.
Did you want me to respond to you in writing about
don't.
That,
I want
Mr. Matson?
To stop. Stop.
I'm
both
just
of you.
Clarifying.
Linda, please sit down. Linda. I'd like to ask Chief Counsel a question. Do we go to General Tribal Council on all our endowments? There's some, I don't even know how many we have.
An
do
endowment.
We go? Do we? I know this is not an endowment, but do we go to General Tribal Council on all our endowments?
The endowment law, the Chapter 84, requires community input, mm-hmm. and that comes from the finance responsibilities. And there's a certain number of days that the information has to be posted and then a community meeting held. So that's getting community input there. And then in the endowment law, the management of the funds to ensure that we're meeting the income requirements, usually 75% of the income goes to be expended, 25% remains in the fund to grow into principal. That's what makes it an endowment and perpetual down the road. The trust committee reports on all the funds twice a year to GTC and quarterly to the business committee and quarterly to the miners.
And this is not even yet an endowment. It's a pre-endowment.
This is typically an action that the business committee would take up and move forward on in the normal course of its day-to-day activities.
That's my understanding, too. Patty, could you read the motion?
The motion is to defer to the next BC meeting to get clarification on the legal ramifications.
Okay, we have a second on that?
Motion was made by David Jordan, seconded by myself.
Okay, we're going to vote now. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Opposed.
I think we're going to do a roll call.
Patty Heft, yes.
Yes.
Opposed.
Opposed.
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes. Next on the agenda.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I oppose because this discussion and this issue came up 2 days ago. I have already scheduling conflicts and some of the things that need to be addressed on the 14th, I will not be able to provide. And again, you know, I can't be in two places at once. I have other commitments. I feel that my input to this item is very important from a fiscal and financial standpoint and as the treasurer of the tribe. So I respectfully oppose that motion. Thank you.
Just a comment. The grant closes on May 30th, so we have to move ahead and give them a yay and a you know, yes or no. It was stopped by the business committee or it was approved by the business committee.
We have a meeting on the 14th.
We were done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think the question and the clarification that I'm looking for is in continuing to develop the graphics, you can always stop the presses. But for you to stop to continue the work, forget the money, forget the event, forget everything else. I'm talking about the graphics, the collateral piece, the investigation, the information. To stop that, then, is going to press us with the grant. Other than that, it doesn't matter.
I don't think we stopped anything.
Okay.
We're just asking you to bring us back another draft, yeah. Taking into account all of the feedback you got today.
Okay. We'll continue.
And I think the submission time for that is May 6th, or approximately to that date. Right? For the May 14th meeting?
Yes. Or, well, the Tuesday before the Wednesday meeting.
Okay. And that will give Tina time to review it and send input?
Not based on my schedule, it won't. I schedule things 2 and 3 months out at a time.
Okay. Well, hopefully you guys will do your best, and and we'll go from there.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to take a little time to recognize the accusation that was made about customers or guest tribal members coming into the building. I just wanted to give some time to recognize the serious accusation that was made today by Kathy Elma Toxin regarding a young woman who came into the building. So we're going to investigate that and find out what happened. But preliminarily, what I'm hearing is that there seems to be a disagreement over that.
This is my friend Shayna. We walked in.
Not right now. It's not the appropriate time. I'll meet with you and get your information. But we have a meeting that's going on right now.
And I do apologize. It's an apology for me. Next on the agenda. Okay, we have four up here. Let's take a 5-minute break. 5 minutes. Motion to recess for 5 minutes.
Nobody called.
Okay. Can that take place afterwards, Lisa? I mean, Patty?
Okay.
So it's number four. It's number four on the agenda under open session, which is the resolution for rules of civil procedure. I just handed you out a small packet because, unfortunately, what was placed in your packet was the incorrect information. So what I've handed you was the updated memo that was supposed to be placed in the packet, and it highlights for you at the bottom of page one of that memo the very specific changes that were made to the draft civil rules of procedure based on the meeting, business committee meeting on Wednesday. The discussion specifically was in regards to security, whether or not the tribe would have to place security such as a bond in case they appealed a case. And the decision of the business committee at that time is that the tribe should be exempted from that requirement. Therefore, the changes were made to section 153.28-5, 153.34-6, and 153.35-3, which exempts the tribe from placing up any security or bond in those types of cases. It also specifically states that a party may recover punitive damage against another party unless that other party is the tribe, so it exempts the tribe from having to pay out punitive damages, which was explained to you at Wednesday's meeting, excuse me, that generally is how it is worded for governments, that governments are generally exempted from punitive damages. So in that memo is the requested or the changes that were made to the rules of civil procedure. And if you're okay with those changes, then we ask that you approve the resolution to adopt the rules of civil procedure.
Linda?
Again, I'm not here as an employee. I'm here as a general tribal council member, and I respectfully request a copy of that. Is that available to the public? Thank you. And so are these rules going to general tribal council for review and approval?
No, the general tribal council in the transition resolution, when it adopted the judiciary, directed that the business committee adopt these procedures.
Okay. And but they can come under review through the constitutional process of a petition, right?
Sure.
Okay. And
if I could just say, they did go through the LOC process. The LPA requires, there was a public meeting held. We did receive comments, and the LOC did. There were very few comments that were received in regards to the rules of civil procedure, so they did follow the LPA process.
I do have a question, though. In our legislative civil rules of procedures, appellate rules of procedures, are they often changed through the legislative process due to you know, things change, improvements need to be done sometimes. You find a weakness and it's changed. So
absolutely.
Normally, an effective civil rules of procedure or appellate rules of procedure is a document that often needs to be amended.
Absolutely, and I think especially in this case, because these are geared specifically towards the new judiciary that's going to be taking office and get up and running as of November 1st. And so these are the first documents of those kind for the new judiciary. And I think we fully anticipate that based on how the judiciary rolls out and how it works, that there is the potential that these will come back for amendments. But without the judiciary actually being in effect at this time, we can't know how well these are going to work until that gets started.
For the record, with my own experience as an advocate and representative for tribal employees as well as general tribal council members, the civil procedures as well as the appellate rules of procedures appear to mirror the civil and appellate rules of procedure that were utilized by the Oneida Appeals Commission. And given that information, and that's based upon the packet that was given to the general public at the Wednesday meeting, in review of those, that there hasn't been very much change to them, and there's been a plea from the people to the Appeals Commission, which fell upon deaf ears, which was made to the General Tribal Council, which was heard, but obviously wasn't at the business committee level, that there be changes made to that. And there doesn't appear to be, because they seem to mirror the appellate and civil rules of procedure from the Oneida Appeals Commission, which there are problems. And anybody that utilizes that system or has been subjected to that system, which I don't know if anybody here has been, on a personal level where you have to represent yourself and you have to read them and you have to understand them and you have to apply them, that they're just, to me, they're still way too complicated. And simple things that should have been addressed in there is simply making the days one way or the other. Is it calendar days or is it business days? And you had, and of course, in the law, there's a statement, you know, that it's calendar days unless it states otherwise. That's like a game you got to go through to try to understand it. And then you possibly miss a deadline, or or you lose your opportunity to represent yourself or to what's the word to not litigate. I can't think of what it is. But you lose out on your opportunity. Things are dismissed, or you missed the time frame because of a simple misunderstanding. And it again, when you're there, and I hope it's not in the new one, it'll all depend on what the elections roll out, but in the system that's rolling right now, it's based upon who you know, who you don't know, and if they like you or if they don't like you. And again, you got to remember, I was on the Appeals Commission. I have firsthand knowledge. I've been an advocate for almost 30 years. I have firsthand knowledge and experience. So there's simple things in there that should have been corrected that haven't been corrected. And that's why I'm kind of wondering why it wasn't, and does it need to go to General Tribal Council in order to have those things straightened out?
I know I made some recommendations, and they're in there. I don't know about anyone else. Michelle?
When these were drafted, the current rules of civil procedure were looked at, as well as the federal rules of civil procedure. I believe that these primarily go off more of the federal rules of civil procedure, but I do know that there are some things from the current rules that are in here for ease of the litigant, for ease of the pro se litigant, that you wouldn't otherwise find in the federal rules of civil procedure. So that's just where we came from when we worked on these and we drafted these.
Mr. Chairman, and I think it's imperative just to note again that these were public. These were made public. The public had an opportunity to respond. So we went through the procedures in accordance with the Legislative Procedures Act. And again, I know Linda had mentioned and had asked where we get the authority derived to not necessarily questioning our authority, but whether or not GTC can review them. And absolutely they can if they wish to, but they're the ones who directed us through the resolution to get these up and going in time for the court. So they're effective on November 1st, 2014, when the court does open its doors. Also, because we understood that there would potentially be some problems in interpreting the rules of civil procedure, the rules of appellate procedure. As I've been reporting to the business committee for the last year through our judiciary updates, that we have several teams that are formed under the judiciary transition team, and one of those teams is responsible for trying to put together materials that could educate the community on how to utilize these rules if they're pro se, meaning they represent themselves, or if they're represented by a lay advocate. So we want to, although they may seem confusing or very technical from this kind of perspective, there's also the opportunity for judges to develop their own rules that could be stricter than the rules of civil procedure, and that happens in normal industry as well. Through any court, they can develop their own court rules, as we know with the Seven Generations litigation. So I think from that perspective, if you know individuals want to petition the General Tribal Council to review the rules of civil procedure, I know the business committee at this time is covered by the transition resolution that directs the business committee to have these pieces of legislation in place in time for the judiciary.
Thank you. Patty and then Linda.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to adopt the Oneida Judiciary Rules of Civil Procedure as presented today.
A motion by Patty Heft. Do we have a second?
I'll support.
We have a second by Melinda Danforth. Discussion, Linda.
I also forgot
myself
to
myself and then Chief Counsel.
I forgot to also state within my comments earlier that to have inside the rules the exception that the tribe or an officer or agency of the tribe shall be exempt from the reimbursement for the requirement of providing any cash deposit or bond. The exemption under this section shall be automatic and shall not require a motion or waiver. I think that that is really unfair, and I think that's inconsistency right off the bat, because your rules should apply to everybody, and the government and its agencies and its officers should not have it, because it looks like there's preferential treatment or favoritism, you know, because you're requiring the ordinary person that's going to come through in the civil action. You're going to require the ordinary employee that's coming through in the civil action to have to abide by this and to have to provide these things. Why wouldn't you require the tribe and its agencies and its officers? So there's the fairness and consistency, which is a part of due process, is broken there already.
Thank you. I'd just like to say that I would hope we exercise caution if we can take this to GTC, because if we find a shortcoming in the civil rules of procedure, we'll have to live with that shortcoming until 8-9 months when it comes before GTC, and that will be a burden on the people. We'll know that there's a weakness in the procedure, but we won't be able to do anything about it.
Not necessarily. The business committee also has emergency emergency authority to approve emergency legislation. If there is that, you know, if there is that,
which
extends for a year, but then trying to get, I think the problem is trying to get something on the GTC agenda because they're jam packed. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, plus if you have a shortcoming there. We pass an emergency resolution fixing it or trying to fix it, and GTC turns it down. You have a law that says this, that this says this, and then goes back to this.
Behave. That's all we got to do. Just behave.
You got to behave according to what it says in the writing.
I'm sorry.
I think there's two questions presented to the business committee. One, why does this look like what the appeals commission have, and why weren't there significant changes? The other is regarding to the security and the bonding issue. The appeals commission developed its rules of civil procedure based on the federal rules of civil procedure so many years ago. But their rules were somewhat convoluted because they were also guided and directed by the Administrative Procedures Act, which also had a separate set of rules in it. These rules that are presented today based on the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure are based on that because there's a long history of understanding and interpretation regarding those rules. So there's something that they can fall back on, the judiciary, in trying to understand if a question arises. There's other law and acts out there that would give them a deeper understanding of what those were as they develop and depth in the case law within the judiciary itself. So it's not hanging out there in the middle of nowhere. Those rules are set forth. They're commonly understood and applied on a day-to-day basis. So they're as clear as they can possibly be. We're trying to put rules that identify how litigation moves forward. And it doesn't go in a straight path. It never does. And so they attempt to cover most of those alternative options. So I think the rules that are presented to the business committee are as simplified and as clear as they can be. The second question in regards to the security and the bond, it's really typical. Governments do this on a regular basis. The reason why a bond is required of myself as an individual filing a case for injunctive relief or other action against another, or filing an appeal for that matter of a decision, is because as an individual, I have to make sure that, one, I'm interested, and two, that I have the funds available in order to repair any damages I may cause in the event this is lost. A government entity is not in that same position. A government entity has the funds of the tribe standing behind it and its actions when it engages in an appeal, therefore sits in a different position than an individual attempting to file. Ooh, now I'm going to have to keep talking. An individual filing a matter, appealing a matter that would leave someone subject to damages that would not otherwise arise and that might not be covered, which is why the security bond issue on behalf of a local state federal government isn't required. It's typical across the United States that that's an exemption in the processes.
Michelle?
I just wanted to remind the people present that in order to get this before the General Tribal Council, it does not have to go necessarily by petition. Anybody, including any tribal member, can come to the Legislative Reference Office and fill out an agenda request form and put this back to the LOC and ask that specific amendments be made. So if someone, after the judiciary get started and tribal members see issues with the rules and their specific rules they want to change, they simply need to come to the office, fill out an agenda request form, and ask that the LOC take up the concerns and the issues. That's another way to get it taken care of without tying it up at General Tribal Council.
Larry.
Mr. Vice Chair, yes, the practical matter also is if there's injunctive relief or other similar decisions based on case law, we can't speculate the scale of obligated capital, which could be literally tens of millions of dollars that are escrowed until such satisfaction of the case is granted. For example, the wastewater, not that it's a parallel in singularly our legal domain, the wastewater a dispute with Hobart, we've got over $100,000 on that one case sitting there since 2009. So I'm not saying it would be typical that occasion would happen, but we have no way to forecast what that bond, you know, what that assurance would, it could be millions. So we just don't know how to get our arms around that. That is why municipalities and or other governmental entities exempt themselves, because you just tie up all that capital. Thank you.
Thank you.
Greg.
Call for the question.
Okay, we're going to vote. Could you read the motion, Patty?
To adopt the United Judiciary Rules of Civil Procedure as presented today.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries.
The rules of appellate procedure, the memo also explains to you it's the same issue regarding amendments in regards to the security and the bond issue. So we're simply asking that the based on those changes that the business committee adopt the resolution for the rules of appellate procedure.
Business committee?
I'll make that motion, Mr. Chairman.
Motion made by Patty Heft.
Second.
Second, David Jordan. Discussion. Linda.
Without repeating myself, I just want to say for the record that I reiterate my comments that I made about the civil rules of procedure are the same that apply to the appellate rule of procedure, and that as well is something that would go to the General Tribal Council through the constitutional process afforded to a General Tribal Council member. Whether it ties up the system or not is relevant, but then again, it's irrelevant just as long as there's justice for our Oneida people as a whole.
Thank you. Any more comments? We'll vote. Could you read the motion?
Motion to adopt the resolution for the rules of the appellate procedure.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries.
I guess for the record, I'd just like to put on the record for the minutes so that the community understands is that the General Tribal Council, upon adoption of the judiciary in January of last year, did grant the business committee the right and the power to move forward with the civil rules of procedure and appellate procedure in order to be prepared for the opening of the new judiciary, which is scheduled for November 1st, 2014. I do acknowledge the fact that, you know, tribal members have the right to petition in order to have their issues heard, but I wanted to explain in order for the business committee to feel comfortable knowing that we did have the authority and it was granted by General Tribal Council via resolution.
And it will be so noted in the minutes.
The next item, Mr. Chairman, is retro approval of an e-poll that came back with approval to allocate $2,800 from the Community Development Planning Committee budget to purchase trees for the June 7, 2014 Oneida Tree Giveaway event. I make a motion to retro-approve.
We have a motion by Patty Heft to retro-approve, supported by David Jordan. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries.
Mr. Chairman, that leaves us with one more item. We have to go into executive session. I make a motion to go into executive session at
5 o'clock.
Motion to go into executive session, Patty Heft. Supported by David Jordan. No, supported by Greg Batson. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
We are going into executive session. Kathy.
So you're not recessing or adjourning. Can I make a comment, please, for the record?
No. No, I don't know if it would be for the record, but you can make a come out of executive session.
So moved.
Support.
Motion to come out, David Jordan, supported by Belinda Danforth. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Patty.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to authorize the guarantee as recommended in Chief Counsel's email dated April 25, 2014.
Motion, Patty Heft. Do we have a second?
Clear enough.
Yes.
Second by Greg Mattson. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstain?
Abstained.
Motion carries. One abstention, David Jordan.
Motion to adjourn at 5:09.
Support.
Motion to adjourn at 5:09. Patty Heft, supported by Belinda Danforth. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries.